listening to the White Hat Crew podcast, Internet Marketing with Ethics with Anton Roundy.
Rephrasing your message without becoming a weasel. Terry Dean posted an article on his blog today about how drastically the words you use can affect how your message is received. He drove the point home with an interesting example. Quote, Apple currently owns phone with their iPhone. Google launches the Android. The Android talks about how they have an open system, while the iPhone is a closed system. When Apple talks about the differences, they'll say the iPhone is integrated while the Android is fragmented. Isn't this actually a similar message? Yet it repositions the discussion in a totally different light. For anyone who's not following this battle, Apple controls the iPhone's operating system. It's a closed system, and it's the same on every phone as long as you've upgraded to the same version. Google lets phone makers alter Android, so there are a couple hundred slightly different versions, which means more chance of compatibility problems with apps developed and tested on a different version than you have. I don't have either kind of phone, so I've never thought about it too deeply, and it hadn't occurred to me that open versus closed and unified versus fragmented were arguing the very same issue. What a difference a few words make. When you read your sales copy, are there phrases that might turn potential customers off? Could you change your wording to cast the message in a different light? Weasel wording. Now let me be clear about one thing. I'm not advocating weasel wording to deceive customers. Not only is that unethical, but it'll come back to bite you on the hiney anyway. You've heard that you need to underpromise and overdeliver, right? Weasel wording overpromises and sets you up for backlash from customers who are surprised by unexpected problems with your product. That's the stuff that negative word-of-mouth epidemics are made of. Rephrasing to qualify customers. But rephrasing isn't just about weasel wording. You can use it to filter out people who aren't right for your product while at the same time appealing to those who are. Take another story from Terry's post, for example. He'd taken a few ballroom dance classes and was interested in taking more till the instructor squashed all chances of making the sale with a single sentence, quote, "This will be the hardest thing you have ever done," end quote. On the one hand, that was absolutely the wrong message to send to someone interested in learning to dance for recreation. On the other hand, for a teacher who's only interested in students who are driven to become top competitive dancers, that may be the perfect sales message. Not only does it weed out recreational dancers, but it tells the competitors that this teacher is going to work them hard, exactly what they want. Setting up expectations. Let's apply this to selling software and discuss the right and wrong way to do it. If your product is a power tool for advanced users, but is too difficult for beginners, you don't want to weasel word and call it the easiest way to do whatever incredibly technical thing it does, which could never really be made easy. Sure, it may be the easiest way, but calling it easy only guarantees a lot of refunds and negative word of mouth. Instead, call it, whatever it does, power tool. The word power tool will scare off a lot of beginners who wouldn't be able to use your product anyway, and at the same time, appeal to the power users who aren't afraid of a complicated product as long as it gets the job done right. In fact, calling your product a power tool not only tells your power users to expect it to do the job well, it also sets them up to expect it to not be an easy button. They may not be afraid of complicated tools, but that doesn't mean they avoid them. If your sales copy leads them to expect a push-button, easy-to-use power tool, they'll be as let down as anyone when they discover that's not what they got. And letting people in your target market down is even worse than letting down people who aren't, because the people who listen to their word-of-mouth comments are much more likely to be your target customers. To finish the point, let me tell you the wrong way to scare off the beginners. You don't do it by calling your product the hardest way to do its thing. Sure, that'll get rid of the beginners, but it has no appeal to the power users. Read through your current sales materials and make notes of any phrases that may be sending the wrong message, and then see what you can do to rephrase them in ways that will appeal more to your target market and set them up to be delighted by what they actually get with your product.
We'd love to hear your thoughts about this podcast. Post a comment on our blog at whitehatcrew.com/blog, or better yet, copy an excerpt and use it to start a post on your own blog. You'll find links for sharing our content with your friends at the bottom of each post. And whatever you do, take action on what you learn.